integrity, paid by the hour.
When it comes to orthopedic care, experience matters. At Sheridan Orthopedic Associates, our team of board-certified specialists brings decades of trusted expertise to every diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and recovery plan. From sports injuries to joint replacements, Sheridan Orthopedics offers both surgical and non-surgical care tailored to your needs right here in your community. Choose the team that physicians and families have trusted for generations. Learn more about our team of experts at SheridanOrtho.com. Sheridan Orthopedics, expertise you can count on.
Wyoming wasn't built overnight. It was built by people who worked hard, stayed true to their values, and thought about the next generation. This is Frank Boley, and we think the same way at Legacy Ridge Private Wealth in Sheridan. We help individuals, families, and businesses build a financial plan designed to last. Visit us at 45 North Main next to Frackleton's. Legacy Ridge Private Wealth, building a legacy that matters. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC.
So I says to myself, other self, you should think about a synergy shop of Minium. Why would I do that, self? Because it's a big shop that only lacks our imagination. Self says, is there room for our trucks, toys, tools, boats, and business? Come on, pard. We customize it ourselves. Okay, says. So what do we do now? Look, me. Just call Donna Garland, that Sheridan Realty Associate, and ask about synergy shop of Miniums. Okay, boss. But if she asks, I'm telling her you made me do it.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Aaron Palmer.
And good morning and welcome to Public Pulse. Aaron Palmer filling in for Floyd Whiting. And this morning we have one set of guests for the entire hour. We have Sheriff Levi Dominguez and Lieutenant Doug Sanders with the Sheridan County Sheriff's Department. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Good morning.
Very good. Thank you. You guys okay?
Yeah. No, it's wake up to some moisture is really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, we need it. We talked about it before we came on the air that, man, what's the fire season going to look like? Everybody's worried about it.
Yeah.
I hope we get some more moisture.
And we'll talk a little bit later in the show about some of that and just looking and seeing what we are. But yeah, it's dry.
Yeah, terrible. But one thing that did happen, which is good, is Red Grade opened a little earlier.
Yep. So Red Grade opened up yesterday, I believe. Yeah, yesterday, Wednesday, 7 a.m. yesterday, a portion of Red Grade was open to wheeled vehicles from the snowmobile turnouts up to Long Park, which is past the big, the Big Goose Ranger Station, a little past there. And we've talked about this on the show before, but, you know, last year, the county commissioners, they amended the resolution, the Red Grade, road closure, and allowed kind of some flexibility for Sheridan County Road and Bridge and the Sheriff's Office to kind of monitor Red Grade, because we've had some mild winters the last few years in and out. And you know, there's times where before the resolution was, it's a hard closure to wheeled vehicles December 15th to April 1st. And that falls in line with the Bighorn National Forest Service regulations of Forest Service roads being closed to wheeled vehicles at December 15th to April 1st. But what we're seeing is these mild winters and travel could still be, had with wheeled vehicles up Red Grade Road. You've got cabin owners that could potentially access their cabins, but, they're tracked vehicles on dirt roads. Sometimes it's hard on those tracked vehicles. And so trying to be receptive to all that and trying to make everybody happy, we know that you can't do that. But trying to, and even this winter, it was a lot of dirt road up there. But what we're getting into is that the Forest Service is also grooming parts of Red Grade Road when the snow's there for their trails and things. And so trying to, number one priority is just safety, making sure everybody's safe. And so looking at that, and so that's that flexibility. So we saw that, like, this winter, Red Grade stayed open, through January a bit after the first of the year.
That late.
Yeah. I mean, and there was potential that we could have potentially looked at, could we open it and different things. And we're still kind of you know, trying to figure out the best solution for everybody that works for everybody. We're looking at, you know, digital signs at the base of Red Grade for future to where we can, you know, it can be kind of, you know, if it's like we had through the winter and it's super, you know, not a lot of snow and it's dry up on the face and allowing, you know, some wheeled vehicle travel, four wheel drives only or chains or whatever to a certain point to wherever the grooming's starting. But we just have to be able to, message that in a way that it's safe for everybody. Cause what we don't want to have is people, I mean, even when we were contemplating opening up even a little earlier this year, we had folks driving past the road closure signs, getting stuck. We had an individual that spent a couple days stuck and was very dehydrated. A cabin owner up in the area with his tracked vehicle found this individual, got him down to the hospital. But, you know, those are the things we're trying to prevent. And so when you're looking at that, so, but yes, I mean, Red Grade, Doug, open. It's, we've got it open through Long Park. Big shout out to the Sheridan County Road and Bridge folks and their crew. They got up there earlier this week and did some grading in some areas to make sure it was safer to be up in that area. And they're going to continue to monitor that through this spring and hopefully eventually have, you know, the county portion through to Dome Lakes kind of open, you know, when we can and get that. And so the messaging will be out, but really want to ask the public just to be mindful of the potential and the propensity for resource damage up there. I mean, just because you can drive doesn't necessarily mean you should, you know? And so if it's getting muddy, sloppy, you know, really, you know, that takes money and, you know, resources to go back through and fix those roads. So while it's opened up, you know, especially the Forest Service roads are still closed through April 1st. And even after April 1st, if you think that you can drive up on some Forest Service roads and it's like you're causing resource damage, you know, that's money and resources that have to be diverted to those areas to fix those later. And so I just ask the public that to be mindful of that, to respect that, you know, cause, it's for everybody to enjoy, but if we have to, you know, if the Forest Service has to close roads later to fix stuff that's been damaged, stay on the roads, again, and look at those. And so as we move forward, I mean, do you have anything, Doug, that you can add to that?
I don't. I think you hit pretty much all the key points that we needed to. Obviously we're going to have a rolling closure, until April 1st, as far as continuing to monitor if we get like snowfall today or throughout until April 1st hits.
And even at that, maybe not just to April 1st. So that flexibility, there's winter sometimes, right, where Red Grade may not even be open on April 1st. So it has that flexibility. I mean, I think I've heard more about, you know, in winters past that like Red Grade shouldn't be open, but it was April 1st open. People are driving up, getting stuck, causing resource damage. And so that could likewise be the case. So if there's places beyond west of Long Park that maybe there's some issues that maybe have to wait to be opened a little bit longer past April 1st to prevent resource damage, to keep folks safe, those types of things, we may look at that. And I think we did that last year as well.
Okay. So there still is a possibility it could close for a day or two or three or whatever at this point.
Potentially. I mean, if we get a heavy, you know, we get a big spring storm and, sure, you know, that comes through after April 1st and like, we shouldn't have folks driving up there. You know, we may, you know, that's the flexibility of the amended resolution with the Red Grade Road, is, you know, looking out for the safety of everybody, and then resource damage and things like that. And then also, you know, looking at the weather forecast and what we're seeing, highly unlikely that would happen. Knowing that potentially if in the higher elevations that there's snowfall that continues, that may be, beyond Long Park or what's currently open to, that may remain closed a little bit after April 1st, depending on what, you know, road and bridge and every, you know, looking at that and seeing, how it looks.
Okay. Where do people go to find out for sure whether Red Grade is open or whether it's been open past that Long Park? Where would they go?
you know, visit our Facebook page. You know, we're going to provide updates, reach out, like any update we have. If there's a new update, whether something's getting closed or something's getting opened further, we'll be putting out media releases. Those go out to all of our local media resources. So, you know, Shared Media did a great job of putting that out as soon as we put the release out, as far as, you know, but the county's social media platforms, the sheriff's office social media platforms, we'll get those out as much as we can. And excuse me, like I said, that digital sign, hopefully in the future, to where people are driving up, they can actually see that and we can control that. And so that's kind of, you know, a priority, hopefully in the near future, to get something up to where, like, if you're not sure and you're like, I don't know, you can still get up to that point and be like, oh yeah, it's closed to wheeled vehicles, only tracked vehicles, or it's open to wheeled vehicles up to this point. And so that way we can really message the public and have that. So gone are the days where people are like, I didn't see the sign, you know, as I'm driving up, right? We can, no, it was flashing right there for you. So
I was going to ask about that too. A digital sign, this is something that's in the works.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're looking at this for this budget. Like how can we put a digital sign up at the base of Redgrade? So that way, you know, it can be controlled, you know, by Road and Bridge and the sheriff's office, you know, from our offices. We can, you know, have folks kind of up and like, yes, this is what needs to be done. We can be in communication with the grooming team up on the mountain and see how far that they're grooming to, and if the road's dry, you know, and things, and kind of keep a, you know, more fluid than what it has been in the past.
Technology is great. Similar to the ones that are on the interstates all over.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Yeah. Technology is a wonderful thing.
Yep.
Okay. So that's Redgrade. That's all we want to cover today. I'm assuming we're good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, I mean,
Let's talk about the 2025 year in review.
Yeah. So with that, the 2025 year in review, so that's our annual report that comes out. We like to usually have that out by, you know, the end of February, first part of March. And, you know, I want to thank the public for their patience and that we've kind of had some changes over the last year, as it relates to, you know, Under Sheriff Sanders here, Doug's, you know, newly into this role that started. And so this is his first year of being a part of that annual report, pulling numbers and data. So he's really taken some time to look at that, to make sure that it's correct and done correctly, and kind of changing some different things and adding some things here and there, kind of putting his own personal touch to it, which is great. We also had a retirement the end of October of 2025, which was our records technician secretary, Tempe Rawlings, had spent many years at the sheriff's office and had a lot of input into the annual report as well. And so we'd hired a new records technician secretary to replace Tempe and Marcy Horsley. And she has been training, having to go to a lot of classes for UCR, NIBRS reporting. And so she's got that under her feet, but she's also putting together the, you know, we're getting that year in report. And so we just want to make sure that it's, you know, clear, concise, correct. And so it's taking just a little bit longer to get that report out this year, just making sure we got some new, you know, just new sets of eyes on it and folks doing that. And so we just want to make sure that it's done correctly. And I just, you know, we're hoping within the next week or so that we'll have that. You know, I think for the most part, it's all complete. The numbers are in there and we're just getting some other sets of eyes on it to make sure there's no mistakes, any questions or things that come up that raise some eyebrows that like we need to look at. But, you know, so that's where we're at with that. And so I just want to thank the public for their patience with that. And we'll get that out as soon as possible. I think Doug wants to speak to some of it that he's seen and been a part of so far.
Okay.
Yeah. For the most part, a lot of the calls that we had this year were pretty similar to last year. There are a couple notable ones that I wanted to mention to everybody. We've seen a notable decreases in domestic dispute related cases. We went from 71 last year or 2 years ago, from 2024 to 43 in 2025, which is always a great thing to see when we see something like those cases specifically decrease. Or paper service attempts went from 1,748 in 2024 to 1,193 in 2025. Then inspections were down as well. As far as notable increases, our disputes went from 110 in 2024 to 174. So that was a pretty substantial increase in dispute-related cases that we've dealt with in the county. Alarms and animal calls and went up, as well as crashes. And crashes was one thing I did want to talk about. Statistically, we had 61 in 2024, and we almost doubled that to 113 in 2025.
But
our statistical data for 2024 included state crash reports here at the end of our fiscal year last year. So, you know, starting July 1st of 2025, there was a change statutorily with regard to state crashes. The threshold for us to do a reportable state crash before was if it was $1,000 or greater in damage. That's since changed to disabling damage to a motor vehicle. So in theory, we do less crash reports, but obviously we're still responding and investigating crashes. We're just not doing that state crash form. So that's partly for the percentage of the increase, because before we just tabulated the actual crash reports. Otherwise, we, being in this position, we also added some new statistical information just to kind of see some of the cases that we predominantly do that we haven't tracked before. So I don't have the prior years. But some of those were like assist other agencies. We did 294 cases, and those other agencies included everybody within the county, to include like the PD, probation and parole, DCI, game and fish, other agencies like
Highway
that.
Patrol.
Yep, Highway Patrol. Another big one there is fraud cases. Obviously, we talk about the fraud of the month. We actually weren't tabulating and keeping statistical data on frauds. We started to do that, and we had 97 this past year.
Those things seem to be getting more and more prevalent. Fraud across the board. Used to be that the older generations were the ones that were targeted, but it seems like it's across the board now. It's young people, us, older people. Crazy.
Yeah, and frauds, when you're thinking of frauds, that just comes with, you know, what we're seeing as the years progress, right? Technology advances. You know, I mean, I look back when I started my career in law enforcement, the amount of fraud cases or scams or, you know, even different things were down because we didn't have smartphones. We didn't have the internet. Like, you know, there wasn't things that were really getting out. Like, it was a different time, right? Mm-hmm. And so like the cases we were investigating, you're after actually going out, where now it's stuff people are getting called or emailed or texted or on social media and all these different things. And so it's really increased those types of calls versus what we had years ago.
And it's funny, I get notifications from my bank. If there's something that looks a little funny, they'll call me. They have a fraud center, and they'll call up and go, did you do such and such? Did you do this? Did you do that? And I'm like, yes, no. Okay, that's what we needed to know. Thank you. But there are jobs that have been created because of this crud that people are pulling on the rest of society.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, everybody's had to pivot and take a different approach to this because of just what we're seeing, right? I mean, it's people are getting taken advantage of any way they can, and you'll see on our scam later in the show that we talk about. It's coming to all-time lows of what these bad actors and these scammers are trying to do, and it's unfortunate.
And it's always the people that can least handle it.
You know, yeah,
they're older people,
vulnerable at the time, yeah. And yeah, that's just it's just unfortunate.
Crazy. Okay. Well, we're going to take a break right there. Joining me this morning for the entire hour is Sheriff Levi Dominguez, and your undersheriff.
Yep.
Lieutenant Doug Sanders with the Sheridan County Sheriff's Department. We'll be back right after this. Ready to level up your career?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, our people are our greatest strength, and we're hiring full and part-time tellers to join our team.
Enjoy great pay, outstanding benefits, and a culture that empowers and supports you every step of the way.
Because at First Federal, we invest in you with the tools, training, and opportunities to grow both personally and professionally.
Take the next step at eFirstFederal.bank and discover a career that truly invests in you.
First Federal Bank and Trust is an equal opportunity employer.
She keeps it buttered up with a whole lot of love. My baby makes me gravy all fiddle.
dubbed the keeper of the true country flame, Dale Watson and his Lone Stars bring their signature honky-tonk sound to the Wild Theater tonight at 7 p.m.
Persistent armadillos till the dang day, all dawn.
Known for his deep baritone voice, sharp wit, and dedication to authentic country music, Watson blends original songs with classic favorites in a performance that's equal parts heartfelt and high energy. Dale Watson and his Lone Stars, 7 o'clock tonight. Get your tickets for this boot-stomping night of pure Texas country at the Wild Theater box office or online at wildtheater.com.
REACH, Resources, Education, Autism, Community Harmony, presents the third annual REACH Benefit Concert, Saturday, April 11th at the Sheridan County Fairgrounds. An awesome evening of food and music featuring country singer-songwriter Jessica Lynn.
I got this crazy idea, why don't you call me baby? You got me feeling kind of reckless, that look you're giving me is dangerous, but you know just what you do.
And more outstanding performers, including Stereo Pilot with Stephanie Wilkerson and Paul Rancy, Rich Braddon, Carson Norling, Art Eichley, and another surprise Grammy Award-winning guest appearance.
Food and drink concessions by NOLA.
The doors open at 6:15. General admission tickets are $42, available online at yotheater.com. Limited tables also available by calling Raleigh at 752-7712.
Proceeds from the evening benefit REACH.
The third annual REACH Benefit Concert with Jessica Lynn, 6:15, Saturday, April 11th at the Sheridan County Fairgrounds. Sponsored in part by your friends at Sheridan Media.
Is it tinnitus? Is it tinnitus? Regardless, it's annoying. Hi, this is JT with Ebia Hearing. Ringing in your ears isn't something you have to just live with. Tinnitus affects millions, and treatment has come a long way. From specialized hearing aids to breakthrough therapy like Lanier, we can help reduce tinnitus symptoms over time. Relief is possible. At Ebia Hearing, our specialists can help you find the right path forward. Call 674-8920 to schedule your hearing loss or tinnitus consultation today. That's 674-8920.
Welcome back to Public Pulse on 9:30 a.m. KROE. Aaron Palmer filling in for Floyd Whiting. And joining me this morning for the entire hour, Sheriff Levi Dominguez. And hold on, Doug.
Sanders.
Sanders, thank you. I had to go back to my other page to find who was here. Sorry about that. So we're here for the entire hour. We talked a little bit about Red Grade. You want to touch on that a little bit later? We'll get to that. But we were talking about scams and fraud and that kind of stuff. So you wanted to touch on the scam of the month?
Yes, very much so.
So right into that.
Since we kind of led before with the fraud cases, no better time than now to talk about the scam of the month.
Okay.
This one, like the sheriff had noted, was kind of particularly in poor taste. The victim in this instance had a recent loss, death in the family. What we believe to be a social media profile that was ghosted that we've talked about in other episodes, as far as like, say, a Facebook profile where somebody makes the same picture and basically ghosts the legitimate profile account and then friends some of the same friends. And you can also block the person that you're ghosting the profile of so they don't see that there's an exact copy. And we believe this to be the instance in this case. Ended up friending the victim and then reached out to the victim about the recent death of the family member, explaining there's a grant and you can get this grant to help fund funeral costs. And I believe the grant was up to the tune of $50,000. With that being said, you know, the victim shows interest, provides his identification. They go back and forth and there's like a fee schedule or scale in which, you know, to see how much you'd get approved for. And if the victim were to pay $5,000, then in turn, they would get this $50,000 grant. The victim went through so far as to send the $5,000. And after going to the post office, in doing that, he realized it was a scam. Luckily, he contacted the sheriff's office. We had a savvy deputy that was like, no, you need to immediately go to the post office and get your package back. Luckily, the victim was able to get there in time to get his package before it was sent off. He didn't lose the $5,000, was able to gain that back. But obviously, just a very sad circumstance for the victim and somebody trying to capitalize on it.
How did they come up with these things? Well, I guess that's all they do. They sit and try to figure out how to scam.
Very much correct. Floyd hit it great last month. I believe he just said this is their full-time job, right?
Yeah.
Like we have ours. This is their job is trying to take advantage of people.
Are we finding that these are international criminals, so to speak, a internal or?
I would say it's a combination of the both. From what we've seen, I mean, I think the forethought back in the day was that it's always going overseas, but we're seeing more people where this money's remaining within the U.S. and it might at some point go overseas, but we're also seeing more suspects that are within the continental U.S. and not so much overseas.
And I think a lot of it, the money's getting changed hands several times throughout the process of a scam. You know, it gets sent here, and then from here, somebody picks it up, and then it, you know, it gets put in an account, and then from there, that account, it gets put in somewhere else. Our deputies have spent a lot of time, you know, some have spent many hours on search warrants just trying to track the money flow and where it goes to get to a dead end or to find out it's international and stuff. But, you know, trying our best to get where we can with it, you know, when folks are losing money and stuff. But I do think probably the biggest, the way that we can combat this locally for us is doing things like this, educating the public and just saying, again, if it's, you know, some of these, if it sounds too good to be true, if that, you know, all those types of things that we can look at that just to educate the public before we can to stop it before that money gets sent off, because it's a really difficult challenge to get that money back. And the banks have been great. Like I said, everybody's had to kind of change the way you do business. So the banks, you know, are very, you know, gracious on, you know, stopping, you know, payments and doing things, getting these victims their money back, you know, and I know the banks are probably taking a hit as well, but just education. That's.
Yeah. And another big point for a lot of these we've seen is how you're sending your money, right? You talked about all the advances that we've seen in technology, but a big thing is, you know, you can still send a check, you know, you can call and, like, if you have questions or concerns about the business or whatever that's hitting you up, contact the business. Find the legit business phone number. Call them first. You always have time. But generally speaking, like, a business entity isn't going to want you to send them money cards or a picture of the back of a money card, you know, or cash. They're going to be happy with a credit card purchase as well as maybe sending a check. So just, you have time to check everything out. Don't be in a rush to, you know, to send everything off. And then look at the form of payment and just look at all the circumstances surrounding the call itself or whatever the contact could be.
Okay. And this is going to happen. People are going to get scammed and it's unfortunate. But if people are concerned or questioning what's going on, can they contact the sheriff's office or who should they contact? Like you said, the business, if possible. But that's not always the case. If it's an individual or whatever the case, would the sheriff's office be the one to contact?
Yeah. So, yeah, reach out to any law enforcement agency you have if you have questions or concerns. Obviously, we very much want to hear from you and stop you from being a victim of a fraud. So you can reach out to the agencies. Another great avenue to go is IC3.gov, which is the federal website for the FBI. And I believe they have statistical data to show the most common frauds they're seeing and other things to know, just to kind of, you know, provide the potential victim or everybody with more of a knowledge base of what frauds are seeing and how to see through them.
Yeah. I mean, IC3.gov is a great resource. When you're looking at this, some of these scams, when we're talking about this, you know, folks will call the sheriff's office. I remember years ago dealing with an individual who came in and was talking about this, you know, wanted to check to see if it was a scam or not. And, you know, you're looking at it and you're like, this is a scam, and trying to explain to this individual, but they wouldn't believe me. You know, they're like, no, this is legit. But they came in because there something was pulling at them to tell them that, like, is it a scam? But it's amazing how these scams can be so, you know,
persuasive
is a great word, that they even sometimes don't want to believe, the victims don't want to believe law enforcement or the banks, you know, the banking institutions. The banks are great that they'll, you know, come in and they'll say it's a scam and they'll do everything they can. But, you know, these individuals are like, nope, it's not. And they'll still pull the money out of their account and they'll still send it. And, you know, these, you know, everybody, those are big red flags, right? I mean, local banks do a great job being trained on this to, you know, red flags if somebody comes in, you know, one of their, you know, account holders and trying to take our office, our deputies, our staff does a great job, you know, looking at those things. And so, it can be, and it's frustrating when we see that, we're like, no, it's a scam. And they're still like, no.
Yeah, and you had a great point. The banks are a great resource. So we do see cash transactions, right? Right. Either somebody's wiring money to another bank or just pulling cash out to give. The banks are very savvy at recognizing those red flags. But one thing of note is once you, you know, and we've had a couple of victims where the bank's like, that's a fraud. And they're so convinced it is not. They send the money anyway. Once that money's sent, rarely will the bank be able to reimburse you at that point. So you're out whatever money you're sending.
So good advice. Take heed when you're talking to the law enforcement in your bank.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, everybody's just looking out for the best interest of our community residents. And that's what, you know, everybody working at the banks, that's what they're doing. Everybody at our office, that's what we're doing within law enforcement. And we're not trying to be like, oh man, I wish we had that deal. It's like, this is not right. I mean, yeah.
Well, yeah. And if you guys were looking at that deal, you're like, well, I want to get in on that. Yeah. Go ahead and do it and let me know what happens. Yeah. If you're saying it's a scam, it's a scam.
Yeah.
More than likely. Okay. Well, let's go back and talk about spring weather.
Talk about some spring weather.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at
crazy.
It this morning, waking up. I mean, it hasn't felt like spring over the last few weeks. It's felt like more like August, I think, at sometimes when you're looking into it. I mean, gosh, really hot, low humidity. We'll talk about that later in the show as well. But yeah, I mean, we're into spring, you know, and it's nice to wake up and see that we've got moisture. But, you know, with the spring after winter, which we've kind of had that, you know, we've kind of got what, you know, this type of weather, you know, brings people out, right, Doug? They want to go out and do things. And if you want.
Yeah. One thing that we just wanted to obviously mention, I think a lot of the drivers have been seen lately through the nice weather. There's a lot more cyclists and pedestrian traffic on the road. Especially like the county roads. I'm seeing a lot of people like when I'm heading home where it's still light out since we had the time change where they're like, it's still pretty nice out. It's light out. They're hitting the roadways, walking. We just want to remind the motoring public that you're likely to see a lot more pedestrian cyclist traffic from here on out. So take extra caution when you're on your roads or you're approaching like say a walking path or an intersection, because more likely than not, you're probably going to see some people crossing the street, especially this early on with this nice weather we're having.
And watch for motorcycles.
Yes, watch for motorcles.
Because they are out.
They're out. They have been out all winter long.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just the winter we've had, right? I mean, even with pedestrians, bicyclists, or cyclists, you know, everybody's been out. And so, you know, also when you're talking about that, usually after winter, you know, again, we've had a mild winter, but at the same time, like, you know, potholes, holes in the roadways, you know, be careful. You get spring weather like this where you get, you know, some rainfall. It fills those potholes up. You don't quite see them. You hit them with your vehicle, can cause some damage and stuff. So just slow down, you know, defensive driving is always, you know, the best to be on that. And as you're looking into spring weather, it gets folks out. They want to recreate. They want to get up the mountain. They want to do things. You know, we see to 10 time, we'll tend to see folks getting up. And again, we talk about this all the time, but if you're going to just, we've got the best backyard that anybody could have with the Bighorn National Forest Service, just right in our backyard. If you're getting out and exploring places, let folks know where you're going, especially if you're by yourself, right? So, you know, again, we talk about, you know, be careful about driving and getting back into places, right? April 1st, Forest Service roads open up, but that doesn't mean you should be driving in there. But we do see folks will drive back in there. They get stuck. They're missing. Search and rescue gets called out. It's like trying to find a needle in a haystack if you don't tell somebody where you're going. And a lot of times we can't start a search if we don't know an area where an individual is supposed to be. So if we get a call and somebody's missing or they went up to the mountain, but nobody can tell us where were they on the south end of the mountain or the north end of the mountain? Were they in these areas? Because we can't just, you know, so a lot of time and resource just to try to get a starting point. Like now we can't go to an area. Now we're just searching for the vehicle initially, or we're searching for clues to where do we start a search. And so just let folks know where you're going is super important when you're out.
That's crazy because people don't realize those Bighorn Mountains stretch for what, 70, 80 miles from Montana clear south into central Wyoming. So they could be anywhere.
Yeah. So always let people know. Then we have a starting point. You know, when we find that vehicle, or we have a place that this is where this individual is planning on going. Now we can set a team up and we can start searching.
Very good. Good advice. Okay, we're going to take another break. Joining me this morning is Sheriff Levi Dominguez and Lieutenant Doug Sanders with the Sheridan County Sheriff's Office. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk a little bit more right after this.
Sheridan, I'm Nicole Pierce.
And I'm Maren Borsheim with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Dreaming about owning your first home?
The Mortgage Rate Relief Program could lower your interest rate by 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
That means real monthly savings.
It's available to qualifying homebuyers purchasing a primary residence.
Let's see if you qualify.
Funds are limited, so stop in, call us, or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Homeownership just got more affordable. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Talking with Bill from Tales of the City. Bill, can you tell me what you mean by treats with a purpose?
We have all kinds of different treats. Bully sticks. These are naturally drained, naturally dried. We have supplements like Ultra Oil, which completes the 3-6-9 omegas. And then there's Ultra Joint. It really helps the older dogs, helps dogs with joint problems. There's a lot of dogs that need that supplement.
Stop by Tales of the City and check out the wide selection of treats with a purpose. 218 West Burkett.
Man, oh man, it is great to be on the open road again. I'm looking forward to this hunting trip.
Yeah, me too. I am ready to hit the woods. But these wind farms we keep seeing, they are pissing me off. Let's turn on the radio and get some good news.
President Trump announced today his plan to terminate new windmill contracts.
We don't allow windmills. We're not allowing any windmills to go up.
Hey, President Trump's got it right, but that Chuck Gray guy running for Congress is dead wrong.
Yeah, Gray voted to license windmills in Wyoming. You believe that? The one we just passed should have Chuck Gray's name all over it. Unfriggin' real.
Hey, what about Reed Raisner? Where's he stand?
Raisner's 100% MAGA. He'll help Trump kill the windmills, end the Green New Deal scam, and make America energy dominant. Reed Raisner's our kind of guy.
Right. Reed Raisner knows more American energy means more Wyoming jobs. Drill, baby, drill.
I'm Reed Raisner, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Reed Raisner for Wyoming.
Looking for a place that has something for everyone? Smith Valley Brewing, right in downtown Sheridan, combines great food, quality drinks, and family-friendly fun. Kids can enjoy the arcade, you can challenge friends at the pool table, and catch every big play on their giant 70-inch and 90-inch TVs. Savor their new menu and family-friendly pricing in a welcoming, comfortable space for the whole family. Visit Smith Valley Brewing in downtown Sheridan. It's right up your alley.
Ready to put your puzzle skills to the test? Join the Sheridan Public Arts Committee for another exciting puzzle competition, Sunday, March 29th from 2 to 4 p.m. at Smith Alley Brewing Company. Grab your team, claim your table, and race the clock for bragging rights and great prizes. It's the perfect way to spend a Sunday afternoon with friends, a little friendly competition, and plenty of fun. Plus, proceeds help support Sheridan's dynamic public art and sculpture collection. Spots are limited. Sign up today at artinsheridan.com/classes.
Welcome back to Public Pulse on 930 AM KROE. Aaron Palmer filling in for Floyd Whiting. Joining me this morning, Sheriff Levi Dominguez and Undersheriff Lieutenant Doug Sanders. We talked about a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to hit on Red Grade Road again here directly. But again, odd winter. We had very little snow and it's dry and it's still dry. How are we looking out there?
We talked about, we wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, just the dry weather or the dry winter we had. It's very dry out there. And you wouldn't think of it when you woke up this morning and you saw the moisture that we have, which is, you know, delightful to see. We need lots more of that. Lots more of that moisture. Things are drying out. The fuels are drying out very quickly. We just have to be mindful of that. Red flag warnings are coming up here and there. I mean, yesterday, low humidity, really, really warm out and winds and things like that. And so if folks are doing any type of controlled burns, understand that, you know, it's be very cautious when doing that. Let the dispatch center know where you're doing burns, because that way let them know, you know, who you are. Like, just call in, let them know, 672-2413. Let them know you're doing a controlled burn on your property, for about how long that burn's going to be, where it's at. So that way, you know, they're not getting receiving 911 calls left and right, and they know that that's that. We're not sending resources out there. But be mindful of the weather. Make sure you have plenty of help, you know, because the fuels are super dry. Have water available. And if that fire at any point starts to grow larger than what you think or not, call for help right away so we don't see a fire grow in size, because again, the dryness out there is just, if we get winds again today, I mean, like this moisture is not going to do a whole lot for us. It's just going to dry right back out. We saw that even in some of the snowfall we saw a couple of weeks ago. You think that would help, but the winds came. I mean, we've had, you know, winds in Sheridan County that I don't recall having for a very long time. And so it just dries everything right back out. And so just be cautious for that, because it'll dry stuff out real quick, and we just have to do our part. When I tell folks that, and they've probably seen that, if you look around, there's fires all around us, you know, throughout the U.S. and the region. We're talking about the break. Here in Sheridan County, we've seen fires, we've seen grass fires every week since January in Sheridan County. I mean, our fire districts have been responding to grass fires probably every week, I would almost say, on average.
I would agree with you.
Since January. It's just dry. I mean, and those folks, most of these are fire districts, they're all volunteers, and they're taking time, you know, from their families, work, going out and responding to those. And so I want to let the public know, again, I'm not the fire warden or anything, or the fire district chiefs and stuff, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. And there's discussions, you know, we've got counties surrounding us that right now that are there in fire restrictions, right? Partial fire restrictions, that we may in Sheridan County see fire restrictions go into effect, partial fire restrictions go into effect a lot earlier than we've seen in years past. Just with the dry conditions we are. And it's just, again, to keep folks safe, right? And to make sure that we're not having big, large fires like we're seeing across, or any way we can help prevent some of those. And so I just remind, you know, the county to think about those types of things. And again, like I mentioned earlier, to call into dispatch if you're conducting a control burn, since there isn't a partial fire restriction in place yet. You know, if fire restrictions go into effect, then, you know, that's kind of out the window at that point. But just wanted to let the public know that we may see partial fire restrictions go into effect a lot sooner than not. So
I'm surprised that Sheridan County hasn't done that. I think Johnson County did it earlier this month, or it might have been even late last month. So it's been quite a while. Like you said, counties around Sheridan County have done it. Yeah, surprising that Sheridan County hasn't.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, Chris Thomas, the fire warden's great. You know, I think he does a great job, and he works really well with the fire districts and the chiefs and to look in that. And I know there's probably discussions being had right now on that. So not that I think, you know, there's a lot that goes into it when they're looking at that. And, you know, it's tough. It's tough to tell folks you can't burn on your property and those types of that. One of the, I don't like, you know, I've never liked the, you know, even in my past being a firefighter, like that was one of the worst parts. I hated it as in law enforcement of like, oh, fire restrictions are going into effect, because I didn't like to be the guy to have to drive onto somebody's property if they're burning and they shouldn't be like, hey, you can't burn because fire restrictions. But I will tell you, I'm a lot more receptive this year and after things that I'm like, yeah, I think, you know, whenever the fire districts and Chris Thomas, our fire warden, are like, hey, it's time, I'm like, you're right. You know, we've got your back. Whatever, you know, you need from law enforcement, for sure.
And that wasn't meant to be a dig on Chris at all when I said it was surprising.
Oh, no.
It was surprising that it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Not meaning to be any kind of a dig on him at all.
Yeah.
But it, as you said, it's probably going to be coming.
Yep.
At some point it will, because it's just that dry.
Yep.
Okay. Do we want to talk about the statute of the month?
Yes, we do. So this one kind of follows in line with that warm spring we've been having. We did talk about defensive driving for obviously the motorists to give care to the cyclists and pedestrian traffic. And with that in mind, we have two statutes for statute of the month. One is with the pedestrian traffic and one is with the cyclist. The first one is statute 315605, and it's walking along roadways or highways. And I'll just read this out verbatim, but this statute is where a sidewalk is provided and its use is practicable, it is unlawful for any pedestrian to walk along and upon an adjacent roadway. Second part of that is going to be where sidewalks are not provided, any pedestrian walking along and upon a highway shall, when practicable, walk only on the left side of the highway or its shoulder facing traffic, which may approach from the opposite direction as far as practicable from the edge of the roadway. So obviously face against traffic, left side of the road as far away from the roadway as you can. And except other, as otherwise provided in this act, any pedestrian upon a roadway shall yield to the right of way to all vehicles upon a roadway. The second statute is 315704, and this is riding on roadways and designated paths. Every person operating a bicycle upon a roadway shall ride as near to the right side of the roadway as practicable, exercising due care when passing a standing vehicle or one proceeding in the same direction. So obviously, pedestrian against traffic, cyclists go with traffic as far away from the roadway as you can. The second part to that statute is persons riding bicycles upon a roadway shall not ride more than two abreast except on paths or parts of roadways set aside for the exclusive use of bicycles. Persons riding two abreast shall not impede the normal and reasonable movement of traffic and on a laned roadway shall ride within a single lane. And the big part of that is on occasion you do see people that want to ride side by side and they might be intruding on that lane of travel. They cannot be riding more than two abreast. In all safety-wise, they should be on the shoulder of the road. Both of those statutes are $100 fine if you are cited.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and so this was something that we were talking about. I think it's a great to bring up, and you know, not looking at fining any folks or anything like that. It's just primarily safety,
right?
And we're seeing a lot of pedestrians like with the nice weather, they're out and about, and I'm seeing it like from where driving around the county. And folks aren't doing that, right? We're having a lot of bicyclists that are riding against traffic. So they're riding on the left side against traffic. That is not safe. I know people think it is because you can see them coming, but that's the law, is you need to ride with traffic as bicyclists. And I've seen, even probably just this week, I've probably seen four or five bicyclists, and these aren't like kids on bicyclists. These are, folks that are out riding, so we need to make sure bicyclists riding with traffic. And then pedestrians, you need to be, if you're walking on the highway or even county roads or anything like that, be on the left side. So be running, walking against traffic.
I'm guilty of that because I knew from, when we were kids, you were taught to ride with traffic. Mm-hmm. And then walking, your mind just does the same thing. Hey, I need to be with traffic, not against it. I had no idea. Yep. You're supposed to walk on.
Yeah. And when you get out and about, if you're running or anything, it's nice to be again. You can see the vehicles coming at you. And I get as a bicyclist, I enjoy to go out biking as well. And it is, you're kind of always looking over your shoulder because when you're riding with traffic, but be as far to the right as possible, and it's just, that's what the law says,
Gotcha.
And okay. For safety.
We've got a couple of minutes here. You wanted to touch again on Red Grade Road?
No, I think we're good.
Are you?
Yeah, okay. I don't think, unless there's any questions or anything, we missed anything. No, I think we're, just gearing up for spring. Just want to remind, the community just to be safe, have fun. There's, I don't ever like to hear when people are like, oh, there's not a lot to do in Sheridan County. I'm like, there's a lots to do for everybody. I think we live in, we're blessed to live in a county and community that we do that offers so much for everyone. I think, we just from the outdoors to, other different things to the arts and everything that, there's something to be had for everyone when they come here or enjoying it.
I've talked about this with other people in the past where for the size of community that Sheridan, Buffalo, this whole area, Dayton, there's not a lot of population here, but that being said, there are so many artists of every genre, musicians, mm-hmm. potters, artists, painters. It's just crazy the number of artists that are in these communities.
You talk about potters, like pottery, not like the potters. No. Like, okay, no, just joking. I know it's the lawn. Just joking.
Right. Right. But yeah, exactly. Yeah. Any type, it's just of amazing. Artist, yeah. You can walk up and down Main Street in Sheridan, Buffalo, Dayton, whatever, and there's some artist or artisan in those communities. At least one, if not many. Yeah. Well, Sheridan has, many.
We're blessed. I mean, we, like I said, we live in a wonderful place that just says so much for everybody, and our community just, gives back so much to our community too, which is amazing to see.
And of course, getting up into the mountains, that's why we live here. So,
yep.
Okay. I guess that's going to wrap it up for today.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right.
Thank you.
Sheriff Levi Dominguez and Undersheriff Lieutenant Doug Sanders with the Sheridan County Sheriff's Office. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me. Great talk. Yep. Thank you. All right. See you.
Marin, everyone keeps asking, are rates ever going to help buyers?
Actually, yes. I'm Marin Borsheim.
And I'm Nicole Pierce with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Our mortgage rate relief program may lower your mortgage rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
That can make a big difference in monthly payments.
If you're buying your primary home, you may qualify.
Funds are limited, so call us today or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Let's get you into your home. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Beat the heat and don't pay full price with 25% off all Carhartt Force Heat gear. Now through April 6th, you can get 25% off the breathable, sweat-wicking, and fast-drying gear that's engineered to keep you cool in rising temps and protect you from the sun. Hey, it can get hot outside. Carhartt Force Heat pocket tees and gear technology fight sweat and dries fast so you can stay cool and comfortable. And what an assortment of colors. Save now on Carhartt Force Heat gear and prepare to outwork the hottest days of the year. Shipton's Big R is stocked with your size and color. Now through April 6th, all Carhartt Force Heat pocket tees and gear are 25% off and available at Shipton's Big R on Sugarland Drive in Sheridan.
Branded with quality, Shipton's Big R.
Hi, this is Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. From the moment you walk in, we want your meal to feel easy, welcoming, and unrushed. A great night out isn't just about what's on the plate. It's how you're greeted, how you're taken care of, and how everything flows. We pay attention to the details so you don't have to. Good food, good service, good timing, start to finish. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan. Oh, and book your table early on frackletons.com.
It's the final days of Mossholder's mattress sale. Every mattress in every size is on sale now. Find the Serta or Beautyrest mattress that is most comfortable to you. Mossholder's has premium hybrid mattresses like the Beautyrest Black and Serta's new line, the Perfect Sleeper X. Mossholder's also carries mattresses great for a guest room, kids room, or for those on a budget. Once you find the right mattress, don't forget to add high-quality pillows, sheets, or an adjustable foundation, as all bedding is discounted as well. That's Mossholder's mattress sale going on now. Mossholder's, furniture is our passion.
You tell yourself you've got it handled. The rides, the medications, the meals, the cleaning, and the worry. But carrying it all by yourself gets heavy. Synergy Home Care is here to help you breathe again, while making sure your loved one is cared for with patience, respect, and real compassion. From companionship and memory care to hospital to home support and specialized home care, they show up for the moment that matters most. Visit SynergyHomeCare.com. Call 674-HOME. That's 674-HOME. Synergy Home Care, local family-owned home care you can count on.
If you love a good bargain and like to shop where you live, well, you better get to SharedMedia.com for Buy It Now Thursdays. That's right. No more bidding on Thursday. You can buy it right now. Shop and save on entertainment, dining, services, merchandise, and a lot more. Get in, get out, shop, save, buy it now today and every Thursday. Go online right now. Buy It Now Thursdays on the marketplace at SharedMedia.com.
From Billings to Buffalo, this is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM, KROE.
KROE, Sheridan.